Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
Said many times before that human beings are a strange mixture. There's bad in the best of us and good in the worst of us, and very often the one or the other is brought out merely by circumstances. And I think my story tonight illustrates this. It begins in the small coastal village of Headworth, or rather about 4 miles out of Headworth, where a solitary cottage looked over a sandy cove. The cottage belonged to a Mrs. Saunders. Her husband had been a fisherman who had lost his life at sea, as had 3 of her 4 sons. And in the year 1817, she discovered that she was to lose her youngest son as well. I've called my story The Promise.
So, this is where you are, Jonathan. I've been searching all over for you. Supper's been ready this last hour. What are you doing sitting here?
Thinking.
There must be deep thoughts to keep you away from your food. I've never known you to want an appetite before.
Mother, I want to talk to you.
Well, can't you talk to me just as easily over the supper table?
No. What I have to say, I must say now, while I have the courage.
Courage? You need courage to talk to your own mother?
In this case, yes. I'm going away.
Going away where, Jonathan?
To Portsmouth first, then to sea. But try to understand, Mother. I'm 26 and I've never travelled more than 10 miles from Edworth. My life's slipping away. One day, I'm going to waken up and find myself an old man who's done nothing, seen nothing.
What about May Holmes?
What about her?
Well, you seem to get on well together. Thought you might make a match of it.
She's a nice enough girl. When I think of settling down with her, it's like turning another lock on the prison door. I don't want to be stuck here for the rest of my life. I want to see the world.
I didn't realize you were so discontented, Jonathan. You always seemed happy enough.
I've always tried to make the best of things, knowing that you depended on me. But the years are slipping by, and if I don't go soon, it'll be too late.
What do you hope to find by going away?
Adventure. Life.
I know you won't believe me, Jonathan, if I tell you that life is the same everywhere. It may look different on the surface, like when the sea is covered with white foam. But underneath, the water is the same as it's always been. And that's the way it is with living. No matter where you go, people are born, they grow up, marry, have children of their own. Then they grow old and die. These are the important things, things that never change. The rest is sea foam.
Maybe you're right. But I have to find out for myself.
I suppose you do. It's only when a sailor's been in a bad storm that he's truly grateful for a calm sea. So I won't try to change your mind for you. One day, when you're in some foreign land, you'll think back to Edworth. And as you remember, you'll know the value of your life here. And you'll come back. You will come back, Jonathan.
Of course I will. I must go. But I promise you, Mother, one day I will come back.
And you've never broken a promise. Not even when you were a little boy. Now, come in and have your supper. It's your favorite. You may as well enjoy it while you can.
Mrs. Saunders quickly accepted what she knew to be inevitable and without argument helped Jonathan with his preparations. And she tried to hide from him the heartbreak that her only living son was leaving for who knew how long. She tried to comfort herself with the promise he had made that one day he would return. And at the moment of parting, she reminded him of it.
Well, there's nothing left to say except goodbye, Mother.
Goodbye, Jonathan. And you'll remember that you've made a promise to me that you will come back.
I remember. I'll come back. Goodbye.
And so Jonathan left the cottage where he had been born and made his way to Portsmouth, where he signed on as a deckhand on a brigantine called the Sea Spray. This news was brought to Mrs. Saunders by a traveller who had met Jonathan in Portsmouth and had promised him that he'd make a detour on his homeward journey for the sole purpose of delivering a letter to his mother. And now she knew that Jonathan's ambition to see the world was about to be realized, and that there was nothing more for her to do but wait. And the slowly passing weeks turned into months, and the months into years. But no more word came from Jonathan.
Saunders?
Who's there?
It's me, Mrs. Saunders. Clem Burley.
Come in, Clem.
Oh, you're usually out feeding your chickens at this time. Every month when I pass by on the way to market, I see you there, so... I didn't see you this morning. I thought I'd stop by and make sure that everything was all right.
I didn't realize it was so late. It's the strange weather we've been having. It keeps getting me behindhand with my work. These dark mornings, I waken up and think it's still the middle of the night.
Oh, dark mornings? Well, we've been having a beautiful spell of summer weather. Sun shining so brightly, it's been dazzling my eyes all the way here.
The sun is shining now?
Oh, right, and your copper kettle gleaming on the hob there. Look, look.
What I couldn't understand was the warmth. Dark, but warm with summer heat.
You're right, Mrs. Saunders.
Your coming here has made me understand. I didn't notice it much at first. The days became a little greyer, that was all. And gradually, the grey has become darker and darker. I put it down to strange weather. But I can feel the heat of the sun, and you tell me that it's shining on my copper kettle.
You mean you can't see?
No, Clem. I can see the kettle as if through a dark mist. There's a thick black veil covering everything.
You know, I'm going to the village and I'll send Dr. Wiley to you. I'd better send someone to come and look after you.
I've managed to look after myself for a long time, Clem.
Yeah, that says maybe, but if your eyesight's going, you'll need an helping hand. One of the village women can come in each day and see to things for you.
I won't be a trouble to anyone, whilst I can still do things for myself.
No one will think it's trouble. What are neighbours for, if not to help each other when there's a need? Oh, they can take it in turns to come out here to you, right? It wouldn't be right to leave you here on your own. By rights, you shouldn't be on your own. Not if Jonathan had done his duty by you.
He had a right to do as he saw fit.
He had no right to leave you alone in the world.
He hasn't gone forever. He'll be back one day.
He's been gone for over 9 years now, hasn't he?
Yes. 9 years and almost 2 months. But he will come back, Clem. He gave me his word.
Well, then it's about time he kept it. 9 years away and you left alone here. And you're not getting any younger.
None of us are. And the years must be changing Jonathan, too. But he will come home. I know he will.
Well, I won't argue with it, but until he does, someone from the village must come here every day and give you a hand. Now, I'll go and feed those chickens for you, then I'll be on my way. And I'll send Dr. Wiley out to you.
Another year passed, and during this time it's become village routine that each morning one of the village women would walk the 4 miles from Headworth to the cottage and give a helping hand to Mrs. Saunders, who was growing frailer by the day. But although her health was failing, her belief that her son would return was as strong as ever. One evening in the summer of 1827, A small boat beached on the sandy cove which the cottage overlooked. But Mrs. Saunders could not see it, though she sat at the open window. For Dr. Wiley had been unable to prescribe a remedy for her failing sight. And now the world was totally dark to her.
Oh, this'll do, Johnny. Seems lonely enough.
Ah, only the one cottage.
Mm-hmm. We'll see what sort of hospitality they can offer.
But we can't go to the cottage. The whole point of beaching here was because of the loneliness, so that no one would see us.
Oh, that's right. What good secrecy, we starved to death. What good will it do to repair the boat if we're too weak from hunger to sail it?
We're not starving yet, Caspar. We're hungry, but not starving. I say we repair the boat and then get on our way. The sooner we reach France, the sooner we'll be out of reach of the sheriff's men. And you said you knew people there.
So I do. And they'll give me a good price for the stuff. We'll be in clover, Johnny. We'll live like kings and with money to burn.
Now let's get down to repairing the boat and be on our way.
Seems to me you're more scared now than when we were doing the job.
I'm not scared. I'm being practical. You killed a man, Caspar.
We killed a man.
It was you that did it.
Well, the sheriff's man won't worry about whose hand it was that held the knife. Now, count you just as guilty as me. We both did the robbery. And we both killed the man who got in the way. That's how they'll look at it. So, if you had any ideas about turning informer and laying the blame
out, who's turning informer? All I'm saying is that we should stick to our plan and get out of the country before there's any trouble.
There won't be any trouble. The boat isn't badly damaged. Take no more than an hour to repair it.
And let's get started.
When we've got some food inside of us.
If we go to that cottage and ask for food, it'll be like leaving a trail for the sheriff's men to follow. They'll come after us.
We won't leave any trails, Johnny. We won't leave any trails.
Who's there?
No one you know. We're strangers in these parts. You've no doubt noticed that we're beached in a cove there. Are you alone here?
Yes, I'm alone. Mrs. Fleming left about 2 hours ago. She's from the village. Someone comes every day to help me. But I'm always alone in the evening.
Oh, well, maybe a bit of company won't go amiss then. We're in need of a bite of food.
You're very welcome. Won't you come in? Mrs. Fleming brought me soup. And there's some left, I know. And there's plenty of bread and cheese. I'm Mrs. Saunders, by the way.
Hi, and I'm known as Caspar. And this here is my friend, Johnny.
Hello, Mrs. Saunders.
Oh, it's exciting to have visitors. Please help yourselves to what's there.
Caspar, she's blind. She can't see us.
Well, isn't that lucky for her? Oh, she knows our names. But names are easily changed.
Please, say something more.
Something more? Well, what do you want me to say?
No, not you. Your friend, Johnny, you said. Johnny?
You want me to say something?
Jonathan, I knew you'd keep your promise. I knew you'd come back.
Jonathan? Hey, she seems to think she knows.
Oh, I'd know my son's voice anywhere. Jonathan, why are you pretending to be a stranger?
What's going on here?
I don't know.
Jonathan, come here. Come here and give me your hand. I knew you'd come back.
You've been waiting.
For you, Jonathan. Did you really think you could come here and pretend to be a stranger? Did you really think I wouldn't recognize you?
I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Oh, you've kept your promise, as I always said you would. But you were ashamed to come openly. You mustn't be. Do you think it matters to me that you haven't come home rich and successful? The world's a hard place. And if you've been unlucky, that isn't your fault. You're here. That's all that matters to me. I've waited so long, and now you're here.
What's the matter?
A pain. Excitement, I suppose.
Lie back in your chair. Rest a bit. No more talking.
Plenty of time to talk later on.
Yes. Oh, plenty of time to talk later on. I'll just rest for a few minutes.
That's right. Try and get a little sleep.
I feel better now with some food inside me. Now we get started on the boat. Jonathan.
What's so funny?
Well, mistaking you for a long-lost son. And that's what you'll tell the neighbours. That a long-lost son came home at last. Then left again. That's all too good for us. Nobody's going to think of us or the robbery. Not while they're gossiping about her son. And that's much better than shutting her mouth for her, like I thought we'd have to at the beginning. No corpse for the runners to come and investigate. No searching for any mysterious intruder. That's what they always calls it. Yeah, couldn't have turned out better for us. No one will ever know we've been here. And we'll leave with clean hands. And just like I said, there'll be no trail for the sheriff's men to pick up. Come on, let's get down to the boat.
Hello there, Mr. Saunders. It's me, Clem.
Clem?
Yes, I've been sitting gossiping in the village tavern and I lost count of the time. That's why I'm going home so late. But I saw a strange boat in the cove and I thought I'd make sure that no one was bothering you.
Clem, that boat in the cove. It's Jonathan come back.
Jonathan?
I told you he would.
After all these years, he's come back.
Yes, just as he promised. I'm so happy. He brought a friend with him. They're down in the cove now, repairing their boat.
At this time of night?
They seemed very anxious to get the work done.
This friend of Jonathan's, did he say what his name was?
Casper. That's what he calls himself.
Well, it's a bright night with a full moon, but why should your son go off and repair a boat in his first night home after all these years? Let's have a look. Yes, I can see them down there, but seems a strange thing to do.
Casper seemed very anxious about it. I was having a little doze, but I heard them talking. And I think Jonathan agreed so that I could rest. I had a pain from all the excitement.
Hold it a minute, Johnny.
What is it?
Look up at the cottage window.
Yeah.
There's a man watching us.
You're right. There is.
Oh, I thought that old woman was too good to be true. Wanted to put us up our guard. But I can see him. And he can see us. But not for long.
Wait a minute, Casper. We don't want any more killing. Remember what you said. She thinks I'm her son.
Making up a long-lost son. Pretending to recognize your voice. And all the time waiting to report us.
She couldn't know about the robbery.
Well, whether she does or she doesn't makes no difference. We won't be taking any risks.
Casper! Casper, no! No, I tell you! I won't let you harm her!
Let me go, you damn fool! Have a pistol, private. Now get on your feet, both of you. Who are you?
None of your business. Just stand where you are.
I won't argue with a pistol. But a private disagreement's none of your business.
Maybe not. But it is my business to hand over robbers and murderers to the sheriff.
You're making a mistake. Whoever you might be on the lookout for, it isn't us.
And you won't mind coming along with me and explaining who you are and what's your business here.
Well, I can tell you that right now. My friend here, Jonathan, came to see his old mother that he hasn't set eyes on in years. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
That's right.
So you are, Jonathan.
Get him, die! No, you don't!
Oh.
She died peacefully, you see.
Yeah, fell asleep with a smile on her lips. A time had come, Clem. I expected it sooner.
Oh, poor Mrs. Summers.
You can do nothing more for her, Clem. And it's time you made your way home. You've a long road in front of you. And you've done sterling work this night.
Well, there was nothing much to that. The hard-riding messenger galloped into the village with their descriptions. And when we heard that they'd stolen a damaged boat, we sat in the tavern, figuring out where they might put in to make the repairs. So when I saw a strange boat in the cove, it wasn't over difficult putting two and two together.
But they had already killed one man during the robbery. They wouldn't have thought twice about killing you.
I didn't think about that. The truth to tell, my mind was in such a turmoil, I didn't know what to do for the best. When it came to it, I didn't think at all. Everything seemed to happen by itself. Now, well, I suppose things have happened in the best way. I mean, how could I face Mrs. Saunders? I told her that defending myself, I'd killed her son and that he was wanted for robbery and murder. No, 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 she died happy, believing that he'd come home to her at last. I have to take my comfort from that, but how could he have turned out as he did?
He didn't.
What? What do you mean?
The man you killed wasn't Jonathan.
But Mrs. Saunders told me, and he told me himself.
Perhaps to gain your sympathy, or to distract you for a minute so that they could try to escape. How well did you know Jonathan Saunders?
Well, not all that well, though I'd seen him now and again. I didn't really get to know Mrs. Saunders till after he was gone.
The man you shot had brown eyes. Jonathan's were blue, and he was slightly taller. Even the passage of 10 years can't effect alterations of that nature.
But surely Mrs. Saunders would know her own son's voice.
Oh, she thought she did. Obviously the voice was very similar. She was mistaken. But in the circumstances, a happy mistake.
Aye, it was. So Jonathan still hasn't kept his promise.
And never will. I knew that Mrs. Saunders lived on the hope of his returning. So I left her with that hope. But I knew it could never be realized. Jonathan sailed away on the sea spray 10 years ago, and 2 weeks later, the ship went down with all hands.
As I said at the beginning of my story, there's bad in the best of us and good in the worst. And there was some good in Johnny, the criminal, for he had not wished Mrs. Saunders to be harmed, and had not disillusioned her when she mistook him for her son. Jonathan Saunders had gone down with the sea spray and could not keep his promise. But his mother had gone on waiting and had died, believing the promise fulfilled.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Muller. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botner.